Let's quickly turn 2-2 together, or 3-3. And then you pray for the person next to you in the couple of weeks, last week in this series about love, that God really breaks open something brand new for this person. So let's just turn to each other in love and just quickly pray as the Holy Spirit leads you, just for God to break open a new fresh revelation, a deep thing, something, it's all encompassing, but just do something fresh and new in this person's life concerning the love of God. Just quickly, 2-2, pray for one another, and if there's a word, obviously share it with them. And I especially feel in the mother's room as well. Don't ignore this. Pray with one another. Are you on it? Amen. Lord, as we finish praying, Lord, I just realize my own need so much lately, Father God, of just that perfect love to come and break forth through my rocky insides, Lord. I pray for love to come and break through tradition. Pray for love to come and break through emotions, my own comforts, my own ideas, the ideas of this world, the stuff that has been planted into my life over years. Pray for love to come break forth as a burning fire and destroy that which is not of you, but to light that which is of you. I pray that definitely not for myself, I pray for my house, my home, our family, and this church, Father God. For us here together, for those in children's church, in the mother's room, but even more so today, by your grace, for those that's part of this family that's not here today. I pray, Father God, that love will whack them in this week, Lord, in the best sense of the word possible. That love will break forth into their lives, into their hearts, into their minds, into their families like never before. You came to love us, and you loved us first, and we're thankful for that, but we receive that today. And then, Lord, I pray, Father God, for every single heart in this church, Lord, every single person that visits, that we'll be able to receive love. Where that's a place that the enemy would love to rob or try to steal, I pray, Father God, that you enable hearts and minds and open them again, even our church, Lord, to receive love again, unconditionally, not with checks and balances, but to be able to receive love again. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about love. We talked about love. Ryan is still praying about love, which is not a bad thing. Thanks, Ryan. And the sermon series that we're currently busy with, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to recap quite a bit. Not because I think any of us are stupid, but because I really do believe there's a fake love out there. There's a love portrayed by this world that's in your face from the age of Sophia and Frida up until whatever age you are now, constantly in your face trying to tell you what love is, and which is a totally odd and wrong perception or idea of love many a times. Or at least it's got a 10% goodness or godliness to it, but it's 90% nonsense. Alternatively, sometimes it seems 99% good. Even religiously, 99% good. Yes, there's this 1 or 2% that it's off, that it veers from truth, from Christ, from the Word, from the Holy Spirit. And that's detrimental in our lives. So if we recap, it's just to build a foundation. And it's for me firstly, because I have no clue what I'm talking about. I'm learning as we go. But likewise, we all are learning and trusting the God to redefine and crystallize true love. Not mere head knowledge per se, but as we said last week, that it be an experience as well, that it be a truth embedded, something weighty that we have in our that we have of substance in our lives. So love looks like what? Just quickly, we did it last week. What does love look like to you? Coffee in a bit. Well, then again, I think that's the end of our sermon series. I think she just nailed it. Boom, nailed by Narina. Coffee in a bit. I think that is quite close to... No, I'm just joking. Let me not veer. Let's just see us as a coffee sector. But yeah, it's a good choice. Any random ideas of love, even the way in which it's perceived in the world, which you think is not the truth, love, what? A child running into your arms. That's a good one. Yes, you're on a roll this weekend. That's a good one. A one-night stand. Making love in a one-night stand. Is that love? Making love, I touched on it last week, it's been a bit sensitive. There isn't any young ones here. Gratification. Well, yeah. Making love is gratification. Making love is a bit of a phenomenon or just an error maybe. Because we said last week, God is love. I can't be producing God. Now let's not go too deep into that subject further than that. But love can be defined in so many ways, and it's love not with a capital letter. So we're going to look at that for the next couple of weeks. Today we're going to look at ripe fruit, and you'll see shortly why I'm saying that. Recapping last week, I said to you guys that we had a couple of pictures on the board what love can be, and it's all oogly woogly and nice and fuzzy feelings and stuff, and it can be money, it can be people, it can be stuff. But love firstly looks like the cross of Christ. Love looks like the cross of Christ. Yes, thanks, Ryan. That's the wrong one. You guys need to have a look. The second one is... No, it's not that either. See, I'm going to check net the Twitter and final series. There's a summary of that on there. Love looks like part two. Sorry, guys, this is a bit of admin. Is it there? Cool, thanks. Ryan, I love you. Ripe fruit. Okay, you can get it. There we go. Thanks a lot, Ryan. Appreciate that. Love looks like the cross of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave. God loved by giving. And we went to that at length, so I'm not going to repeat everything. But we are saying to ourselves, I've got a picture in my head of what love is. I've got a sometimes a feeling, sometimes not a feeling of what love is in my gut, my heart. But I need to test it upon the word of God and the testimony of God to see that what I walk around is truly the love of God, the one that truly sustains, the one that actually changes lives. The second one is, we said, we looked at length at 1 John 4, but in short, we said, love looks like no fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Loved this example. And have any of you guys tried it this week that was here last week? If there's any scenario, if you should close your eyes and that comes up and you think about it, an immense fear or anxiety comes over your emotions. You experience fear about it. And if you test that picture, if you test that thing that you're thinking about, I can surely promise you that God is not in that picture. So again, if you take that picture and you think of it, you feel anxious about it, yet you say, Lord, I invite you into it. God, I bring you into this picture, however that may be. It might be providing or something you need or sickness or health or death or life or whatever the case may be. And you bring God into that picture. Because God is love, fear needs to go. And you get the right picture in that moment. And that's just, it sounds so simple, but it is so simple, but yet we don't do it in everyday life. Myself and Edna, we might be in a heated discussion about something. I might feel in such a way, turn off the lights. Keep off the lights. Don't put, well, obviously if you're not in the room, turn off the lights. But in that moment, I might be fearing that we've got too little. Now we have enough to pay electricity, it's just an example. But we have too little to pay our electricity, so she needs to put off the light. So I'm walking in a place of, I'm moving out of a place of fear. Now if I just take that scenario, not that I'm saying we should waste, not at all, not that it's Edna's heart either, but she might be busy with kids, which is usually what she needs to do, and I'm thankful for it. In that scenario, I can either decide to fear and then freak out on Edna, or I can say, no, Lord, quickly, I invite you into this picture. What are you saying? And he's saying to me, what is more important, her heart or 2.5 cents or 2.5 rand at the end of the month? In that moment. He's not calling me to waste at all. But in that moment, freaking out of my emotions and fearing about it, I'm not having a God perspective. Now I say, love come in, fear go out. Now I can see it clearly. And I say, I'll shut up, I'll put off the light, and maybe tomorrow morning when we have coffee and everything is nice and rustig in the home, that's a hypothetical picture once again, I'll say, hey Edna, it's daytime now, we're having coffee, you look lovely, but hey, how about we switch off the lights when we're not in the room? And she's like, oh, Ratif, you're so wise. How do you come up with, is it the hours you spend with God that you know all these things? And I say, thus is I unto Edna, just turn off the lights. And you see how the picture just comes together when love comes in. Weird example, and obviously a bit of sarcasm if you don't know me. So love looks like no fear. And again, it's a big test. Go and test your lives. A lot gets done by fear in this world. A lot of productivity, a lot of stuff we do, a lot of decisions. If I get up to Philip and I groet, and I greet him, and I might not know him. I might walk in there, not in love, not saying I believe the best of him. I might fear, well, I've heard somewhere he's really a good cyclist, and I'm going out for a ride with him, so I'm just feeling like an absolute idiot. And I walk up to him in fear. And so you can go and test in your life that there's so much fear, perhaps, but we need to invite God in. Don't want to hammer that, but I do believe it's very important. And lastly, just coming against a religious lie, remember that God loved you first. Love looks like what? God loved me first. Because many times I can expect something from Philip, or expect something from Sam. Love them, love somebody else, go out, do. But do I know if they have the revelation, and have they actually have the experience? And yes, knowledge, that God loves them. Now I know Sam, and I can hear and I can see in her life that she knows God loves her. But it's important not to expect stuff. And a religion will expect something from you in fear and drive you. Whereas God says, no, come, I've loved you first. Know that I've loved you first. I don't expect anything from you, but just come and drink, come and love. Come and receive love first before you need to go and share it. So yes, we're going to go out, I believe, in this series, and we're going to love more, and God's going to love more through us, but we need to remember one thing. We were loved first. It's not something that we just conjure up out of our own. Biblical definitions of love is, there's four things in Greek said about love, but amongst others, we're going to look at two, and that's agape and filio. Now, agape, and this is where it gets lekker. Dis waar die tekkie die teer slaan, as they say. As the philosophers say, waar die tekkie die teer slaan, a caring or godly concern for someone, even if you do not know or like him or her. Only God himself can give it. It's a self-sacrificial love. It's a one that lays down its life. And then filio is, it's a definition to show signs of otherwise denote brotherly affection. It says high five, cool. Maar ek gaan nie vir jou dood gaan nie. Nee, vir jou kar tyres koop, nee, ook nie. But I think you're a cool guy and we might share a coffee together. Humans without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can only give the emotion towards their fellow man. Agape is something much deeper. It's something that God gives. Just a quick recap. Remember, he gave his son. Now that is pretty hardcore. Not pretty hardcore. That's immense. That's huge. That's the biggest gift, the biggest form of love ever. Love unto the world. Love unto those who spat in his face, in Christ's face. Those who lashed his back. Those who gave him a cross to carry. Those are the ones he died for. And agape love. And agape love is a love that Christ decided that even though philosophers and people will come all through the ages and deny him and deny him and deny him and make him as if he's this fabelachtige idea, this storybook character. Even though they might do this stuff, he knew that he had to lay down and love them by laying down his life. We don't have time to go into why that is, but, and you know the stories. But the self-sacrificial agape that God and Christ gave us is a key to us of what love really is. Now agape, if I say, Dian, you need to go out and agape the people at your work. Or Edna, you need to agape your husband sometimes, because that might be a challenge. Or if I say, Gerrit, you know that opposition that constantly wants to take your best customers. You need to agape them. Or, I can think of a couple of personal agape stories here, but I won't. It's going to sound like the bold and the beautiful. But you're called to agape. Ek sien Ralph kyk die hele tyd weg. Ralph, should I think of an agape story in your life? Not yet. Okay, the Holy Spirit's already done that. I can see that. But the bottom line is that there's areas of self-sacrificial laying down your life type of love that we all can live daily. Not only to do those we know or we know about, but also to those that's called our neighbors. Neighbors in life. But agape sounds like a bit of a challenge. To who does it not sound like a bit of a challenge, by the way? Who of you guys have experienced agape love? Received it? Unconditional love? The rest of you haven't, are not saved yet. If you haven't put up your hand. But kids, oh yeah, that is a place of agape love. And I must say, being a kid myself with my mother, that she lays down her life quite a bit, just in a very practical sense for us. And there we've experienced an agape love. But it doesn't come that easy to the flesh. It doesn't come that easy to say, look here, you can have what I really, so really actually wanted in my life. Now, it does sound challenging sometimes. Let's look at Scripture. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. Now, remember, we started off, we kicked off the series by saying love looks like money. Love looks like one-night stands. Love looks like a lot of lust. Love looks like worshiping people and stuff and things in this world. Yet, Jesus flipped the coin on us, and he flips the switch on us, actually, to challenge us to a new world, to something that seems to your flesh and to your mind just bogus. But I'll tell you just shortly that it is possible. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This, by the way, in 44, remember there's a difference between philia and agape. That love, if you go look it up in verse 44, is the agape love, if you wondered about it. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I'll repeat that. Love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. You guys are a bunch of Christians in a happy, clappy church. You don't have enemies. Okay, well, there's three enemies over here. Do I have any enemies over there? You know? Go smile, yes, okay, kiss it for me. But Holy Spirit, we trust that you just show us. We don't really have enemies in the war sense of the word. Hopefully not. But there's people that it's just not your brother. You're just not totally in love with them. There might be enemies, and we trust the Holy Spirit that even as I speak, that He just reminds us, because Scripture is amazing and living and sharper than a two-edged sword. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, sons that walk by love. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? I say this much easy peasy. Don't even the tax collectors do the same? Same as Sars loop dear. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Very, very, very challenging sentence there. But we're not going to focus around that. We're just going to focus quickly around verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Who does not see that as a challenge? Who even sees that as being absolutely bonkers and impossible? Who of you guys has been able to, maybe once, that one Friday afternoon way back a couple of years, to love an enemy? Who of you have been actively able to love an enemy? Just put up your hands. We're not self-righteous. Act. Just seeing. Emmy, you just jumped up. Was that for the camera? I thought you were really convicted of how you loved an enemy. I was just checking. Skisto. Ooh. Are we going to go that deep today, Sue? Sue says that sometimes even your family can be such an enemy. That is indeed so true. Yes, no, absolutely. But we're going to get there just now. So, love can be a lot of stuff, but we're trusting God for fresh revelation of what exactly love is. Last week we saw that God is love Himself. Love is no fear. God loved us first. And now we're saying, but this agape love might be a bit of a challenge. And the first challenge is just in Scripture and in day-to-day life, and that is loving your enemies. And second to that, and we heard it a bit over the weekend, is that we live in a world where everything is about me. Everything is about me. Harold lives in a world that he's a consumer. He's got a bank account or a couple of bank accounts. He's got this and that. He's got property. He's got a business. But he's also got certain rights. Edna's got certain rights as a mother. My dog, I believe, has got a lot of rights. As we heard, who's heard of Cecil the Lion? Oh. Now, I love lions. Really, I do. Not the lions, the rugby team, but I love lions, natural ones. I really love lions. But Sissel's got a head. poor thing, had a fair amount of rights. If you look at the whole palaver that's going on about him being shot. Now that's all good. But there's a lot of rights and human rights and stuff that Rolf can tell you a lot about in our country and abroad that we can stand on these days. You've got the consumer protection. What other things is there that protect our rights? Obviously, our human rights, Rolf. The Constitution, the one embedded, the foundation of our law. It's just written in such a degree that you've got a, please don't tell my wife, but you've got a lot of rights. And so we get indoctrinated about, this isn't a grappie. We get indoctrinated and we get to this place where we want to stand on our rights. And it's about me, myself, and I, and protecting my rights and the things that the world owes me. The things that, being a consumer, that the world and the places out there and the shops out there and the producers out there, what they owe me. So we get into this whole thing about it's a love of myself and it's a love for me. So breaking out of that into a place where you say, well, no, it's not all about you. It's not about all about your rights. And just a quick asterisk, if there's maybe a question about it, I'm all for die handvest van mensenrechte. I'm all for that, and I'm for these rights within reason. I'm just saying not where we overstep love and agape love and the boundaries of agape love. So please don't if they do you in at Checkers, please don't go home and think that you're not allowed to go give back the product that is fraught. You're more than welcome. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story, it's just not all about me. We bought something on Friday. That was at Friday lunch, and it was really not good. It was really not good. So I was thinking to get onto the Facebook and just freak out because I paid so much for this thing, and I just realized, what the heck? If I could have slapped myself, if I had the guts to slap myself, I would have. The thing is, we get into this place where we, what's the word? Struggling for the English word now, but where we so rely on what we should have. What is it? Self-righteous place. Entitled, that is the word. Sorry guys for that lapse in concentration. But we become so entitled. And there's this battle. Once you give your life to the Lord and we sing the stuff that we sang earlier and we say, Jesus save me from this and Jesus help me to puzzle and put this back together. That self-entitlement and Jesus that is Lord over your life becomes a bit of a battle. And that's a bit of a daily battle. And then what love is concerned in this process is that many a times there's a battle of loving self and being entitled, dankie Demi, being entitled versus loving somebody else and giving them something that they truly need. Laying down your life. Just quickly. Jesus was the Messiah and King, but he came not as an emperor. Jesus the King came not as a Staatspräsident. I've said this before. He did not come as the Illuminati. He just came as a servant. He came as a servant. He rode on a donkey. Not even a Honda, Philip Frons. He came and he rode on a donkey. You can go to the next slide, please. Matthew 20:28. And this is the guy we're following. This is the Messiah. This is the King that we're following. Just as the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve. Did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. And just again, quickly in brackets, this is not church PR talk to get you guys to sign up to serve in church. That's not it. It's much bigger than that. This is to lose your life and give it as a sacrifice, to be a servant of love and to find your life in that. It's not about backing chairs. So please, if you think there's an agenda, it's not that agenda. It's a much bigger agenda than that. It's much bigger. You think it's a costly PR church agenda, it's much, much more costly than that. It's to say, Lord, I don't have much, but what I have is my life, and that I give to you because you've given it to me. That's in short. That's agape in short. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Is love a challenge? Surely yes. Love is a challenge. Who's married here? A couple of you guys? Is love ever a challenge in your marriage? Okay, we'll pray for a lying spirit afterwards. And for the joking one on this side. As you saw. But marriage is quite challenging many a times. If you've got a son or a daughter, if you've got children, love is a choice sometimes. And love is not always that easy within relationships. And even in church. Now you might say, okay, Retief, is this ever going to get better? And yes, indeed. Because as we said, love in this world is defined in a weird, wacky way. And God's got a much bigger, but a deep and profound way of loving us and calling us into love. And of that, he calls us to a place of agape, a place of self-sacrificial, lay down your life. But is this something that we can squeeze out? Is this something that I can conjure up? Is this something that I can do out of my flesh? Is there any of you guys that can agape without the help of God? Is there any way, any person in this world that can truly agape, love that brings forth life, without the help of God? And I guess that's the answer of today. Well, the answer for today is that, and I wrote down here, by love, we are called through love to love. Ryan, it's somewhere there. Yes, it's a possibility. Yes, you've got it. Thanks, man. By love with a capital letter, by Christ, by God. God is love. By God, we are called through love. He doesn't call us through fear. He doesn't call us through religious, habitual, ticking the box exercises, but through love, through grace, he comes and picks us up. Through love, he calls us to what? A place to love. So it's by love himself calling you in agape, saying, everything that I have, the best that I have, I give for you to live. By loving you in such a way, he enables you, he fires you up, he puts petrol in your engine to be able to go and do the same. And it's not, again, it's not an intellectual exercise, it's something based here. It's something settled in your spirit. It's divine. And we see that in Scripture. Romans 5 verse 5 says the following. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love, again agape, if you go look at the Greek, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So if you say to me, Retief, it's so difficult, even imagine that enemy that I can think of in this moment to love this person, how can it be humanly possible? And I'll tell you, easily so, it's humanly impossible. But all things are possible with God, and it's through what? The Holy Spirit of the Lord. And we know the Lord, you have the Lord, and you have the Holy Spirit, so we don't have any excuses. Romans 5 verse 5 says the following, this hope will not disappoint us because God's love, agape, that love that only he has and only he can share, has been poured out. There's not three dripples, nie. It wasn't pay as you go. See, 10 rand a lichtheid, nie. Poured out. It sounds like a lot. It's been poured out in our hearts. It's been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Poured out in our hearts. Agape sounds difficult, and in fact, agape sounds weird to this world. In fact, I think they despise it. But the word says, blessed is he who is not offended by me. and Christ's ways. We were in situations where people, and I said to you before, where people financially had to pretty much agape love us so that God can keep us alive. We were at a place where we didn't have a vehicle, and somebody agape loved us by giving us a vehicle. And other people might think, but are you stupid? But if he's a lawyer, he can go find another job. How can this be God? But hearts are hardened and eyes are closed many a times to the ways of God's love being done. And you might be called into a place where God tells you to agape somebody else, which is countercultural. Totally countercultural. Where your family says, well, what are you doing? And what are you doing with your life? But it is made possible through a divine intervention called the Holy Spirit. Let's look at another scripture before we start ending off. Perfect fruit. Love looks like what? A perfect fruit. A perfect ripe fruit. And the fruit is the following. I'm going to read through all of the scripture because I believe there's some that might just be good to us to hear. But on the second page, we'll get you the answer. I say then, walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. How do I walk by the Spirit? For me personally, it's yielding. It's surrendering. Once you've given your life to the Lord, you've received the Holy Spirit, that still small voice that will lead you daily. You can either decide to go by the ways of the flesh, and you'll surely see what that is in Scripture, and you'll know what it is, and just in your lifestyle and the fruit that it bears. Or you can say, no, Lord, I yield my will. I yield my will to your will, because I believe it's better. I yield my will to your Holy Spirit, and you'll be led by the Spirit. And you grow in it. It doesn't come overnight necessarily. You don't get saved, and tomorrow you'll just be this perfect saint walking by the Spirit all day and all night. You grow in it through relationship with God, a living relationship. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. So we are all in a bit of a battle daily. Who of you guys don't have flesh? Cool. So we're all in a battle daily. And the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Deep thing, we can chat about it later. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. There's a fair bit of that around. That sounded judgmental. I didn't mean it judgmental. God saved me by His grace. By agape love. He saved me from sexual immorality. So let me not sound like a pastor on a pedestal. Because that's not Christ. But there's a fair bit of around. Of this around, and it's killing families, it's killing children, and it's killing callings of people. Sorry, that was just an ad break. I just wanted to clarify that. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry. Not just, yeah, there's a lot of that as well. Sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions. Dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. It's a bit of a catch-all one there. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's quite doom and gloom, but it's scripture, and we need to look at it and just look at our lives through the lens of the word now and again. And here comes the clincher, and I believe the good news for us. Concerning agape love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You realize in this moment is that we've spoken so much in this last year about identity and sonship, so much. But if you should have chosen to be a tree, what tree are you? What comes up? If I stand here and I say, I am a lawyer, or I am a pastor, or I am Afrikaans, or I am a province supporter, eh? You're a thorn bush. If I stand here and I say, AB is a thorn bush. Not really. That's more or less the identity that I would have in my heart. And most probably the fruit that will come out. There's people that their sport team becomes so much of their identity that that is the only fruit they bear. Ek kan net oor die bulle praat en niks anders nie. Ek kan net sê province en niks anders nie. It will take you to that conversation day in at Manchester United. Sorry. to such a degree. Let me use a more general term. But they become so embedded in this other identity that is not their relationship towards Christ, that is the fruit that comes up. Now, you could have been attacked. It's usually if somebody's alarm goes off now, it's because they're used to sleeping in the sermons. But Jenny, I haven't seen you sleep ever. Oh, it was to wake up Nico, I understand. So, now you see, that's agape love in action. You know, Retief is quite on a roll, so you'll just put on your alarm for your neighbor. That's just awesome. So now Nico's not going to miss coffee and cake. Awesome. That's love. I was busy with Manchester United and province. Maybe we should go back to scripture. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What tree are you? Are you a province tree? Are you a Manchester tree? Are you a Cape Townian tree? Are you, you name it. Are you CEO and MD tree? Are you a great entrepreneur with millions in your bank account tree? Or are you just the son of God? Are you a disciple of Christ? And if you're a disciple of Christ, the Holy Spirit is in your life. And God will, as an awesome gardener, will help you, root you, snip and cut and prune you, so that you can bear what fruit? Good fruit. Of which one is love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness and self-control. Just in a moment of bold faith, who would like all of those fruit in their lives? Who would like to settle for those fruit? And is it a case of drinking? Is it a case of squeezing it out? Is it a case of doing it in your flesh? Is it a case of being religiously so astute and so amazing and so holy that there it comes out? My hand. It wasn't my ear. Is that the case? Or is it a case of yielding and saying back, I'm actually just a tree. There's not much drinking going on here. But I need to be, and I need to receive the pruning and love and tenderness and water and sunshine that I need so that, whoa, where does this love come from? Edna knows me quite well. She actually saw me in fights at varsity. Not throwing a lot of punches, but being very anxious. Pretty excited to be there in the midst of the brawl. Anyway, we're not going to overshare. There's a certain amount of there's absolutely no status to hold on to. But anyway, so I liked a bit of a fight, and I had a bit of a personality that wouldn't mind getting into a discussion or a fight. Shame, this is so not the time for this conversation. But I do want to tell you one story. Is that recently I took my dog. We took our dog and our girls for a walk with only one leash to the Melkbos Strand. And we were, myself and Frida and Mei, our dog, went for a jog up and down. And Edna quickly went to the shop and we met each other there. And I'm not going to, again, go into the details, but an elderly gentleman with his dog thought that my dog did a number two on the grass there next to the Melkbos Strand. And I walked on and him thinking that my dog did a number two. And he totally went ballistic and started to scream and shout and swear at me about the type of person I am and how despicable I am and how can you call yourself a human being. There's kids around, they can step into it. But meanwhile, he's just swearing and freaking out, manifesting, quite frankly, around the situation. And I then said to him, well, if there was anything, I would have gone to my wife, get a bag and pick it up. Sorry, guys, it's quite graphic, but that's what I would have done. And he said, well, there's no way you can tell me that. And he totally freaked out. Now, that was the ideal situation for me. If it was 10 years prior, man, I would love to turn this thing off and just tell you exactly what my flesh would have loved to try to do. Maybe this Otopi would have kicked my behind. But I would have given it a go, because the flesh and the human carnality would have wanted to kick in. But something supernaturally happened. And I just constantly said to him, I bless you, sir. And he was like, no, just going on, I'm just blessed it. I did ask him, please stop manifesting once, which was maybe not that nice. But I just said to him, I bless you. I bless you. Scripture just came to my heart that bless those who curse you, because he was cursing me. It's not witchcraft. He wasn't chanting. He didn't have a broom. He had a dog. But that was witchcraft. And he was cursing me, and my daughter was standing there totally not knowing what. That's not why we're moving to Sunningdale, by the way, for the guys in Melkbos. But I just said, I bless you, sir. He said, don't bless me. I'm like, I bless you, sir. So that just took the wind totally out of his sails. So he actually walked on and got another guy with a dog and started to rant and rave about me at that guy, because probably he listened to me more. But in that moment of absolute craziness, God calls us to a place of agape. I was quite hurt by the whole ordeal in any event. I had to go pray and say, just Lord, yes, man, it really hurt. And even if my dog did something wrong, then that gives nobody the right to totally freak out and curse like that. Hey, you know what? I've got an idea. Let's close our eyes. Lord, I thank you that person that I'm talking about, Father God, that you love that person. And that Christ, you died for that person. And who knew, Lord, that you can use such a crazy event like that day to bless him today again. God, I lift him up, Lord, not in a sarcastic Christian type of manner. I just lift him up because my mouth was ruder and more dirtier than that before I met Christ. I was totally off the rails, even more so before I met Christ. So I just quickly pray for a blessing over his life, and I pray for his salvation. We bless him as a church today and say, I forgive you and I bless you, and I give that words back to the devil. But I ask for his salvation, that you'll free him from petty stuff, stealing his entire being, Lord. And that you will save his soul in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, that's a bit of agape in action. That's what God can call us to. So my flesh would have wanted, my old man would have wanted to size up the situation, thinking my dog, his dog, my arms, his arms, my techies, his pluckies. I would have wanted to get into a whole different fight, but God said, no. It's a spiritual fight, and love wins. Agape wins. That fight was not over when I walked away. That fight is even still won now, as we can bless, and we can love, and we can agape, because that's what we've received in this moment. And that's the freedom to which we are called. And you know, it might sound like quite easy, but you're seeing Retief, yo, that's a random guy at the beach, but I'm talking about my father here being my enemy. I'm talking about my stepmom being my enemy. I'm talking about my own daughter being my enemy. I'm talking about my neighbor being my enemy. I'm talking about the hurt, not the guy swearing at you for 20 minutes. I'm talking about somebody molesting me for 20 years. And then we see what Christ did, losing his life physically, but saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Agape helps us to see. Love helps us to see truth. And I don't get it right a lot of times, but I want to get it right even more so. And I cannot do and muster it by my own. I can do it through the Spirit of God. And so can you. By this the world will know that they're my disciples. In other words, by this the world will know that they follow me. By the fissy sticker on their boot. Dis 'n grappie. It's not by the fissy sticker on their boot. It's not by the cross they tattoo on their back. It's not by the Let's Go t-shirt that I wear when I go to gym. It's by the fact that we agape one another. And not only ourselves, but that we call to agape the community, the places that we're in. Faith. Love. Through faith is the fruit of God's Spirit. And we all have that. And I believe that we've been called to love upstream. Can I challenge you, by the grace of God, that we start loving upstream, against the stream, against the way the world wants to love, tries to love, fake love. Love where it feels impossible. Love where it doesn't make sense to the flesh. Love where you think, well, I've been struggling with this person or this thing or this situation forever. Yet, I will choose to love. Will you guys stand with me? Love looks like a challenge. Agape loves. Love looks impossible to the flesh and to the world. Yet, love is beautiful fruit. And love is a beautiful fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. And each and every one of you has got access to that amazing fruit of love, agape love, in this world. Remember we said last week, but a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with only an argument. And guys, I think days are far over that the church can argue God's love. We can argue and we can have a knowledge, a head knowledge about God's love for one another, for ourselves, for our spouses, and for our neighbors. It's time where we trust God by His grace to bear that fruit of experience, experiential love for ourselves, our spouses, our church members, our neighbors. Let's trust Him for that. And then just last challenge for you guys for this week. We need some fresh testimonies of the love of the Spirit in day-to-day life. And remember what we said, it seems impossible, it seems like a challenge, but it will be God being God through you to somebody else. That's it. By love, we've been called through love to love. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your love that changed me from darkness to light, in your light in me. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that we all have received. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that one of the amazing fruit that you bear in our lives and through our lives is love. An agape love that transcends the boundaries, the boxes of this world, that transcends the boundaries and the boxes of the flesh. Holy Spirit, anoint us and come and love through us this week. Even show us pictures of places where we can agape love this week. Not to tick a box, not to do it once a week and then think, wow, how cool was that to go on with life. But to have a true Christ-like lifestyle. Of being a place where we lose ourselves to gain ourselves. Where we lose ourselves to find ourselves. Where we lose ourselves in the process we find you. So we just lay down. We just lay down. We just lay down. We lay down this church, Father God. It's yours. That this church will, that you'll enable this church to agape people out there. So that they can get to know you. And walk in relationship with you. Very simple prayer this morning. If you would like to say, Lord, agape through me. Agape through me even more. Just raise your hand. God, you are love. We're just merely asking to be conduits. God, come and guard through us. God, come and love through us. God, come and agape through us. Not to be feel better about ourselves, but to partner with you, to fellowship with you, to experience you, and to share that with others. Thank you, Lord, that this week that you will come and agape through us. You will come and agape the impossible and make it possible in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. We receive your love firstly in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. If there's somebody that struggles to love themselves, you struggle to love yourself, not in a humanistic type of fleshly way, but just, if you struggle to love yourself, you'll know if it's you. You're more than welcome to come afterwards and we can pray with you. Guys, have an awesome week. Yeah. Have an awesome week.
I just want us to become practical. We come Sunday after Sunday and we hear things, but do we actually go home and do these things? It's so easy for us to get a revelation and to hear something and then, oh, that's awesome, and then go home and nothing changes. Ask God now, as you're standing here, someone that you can go and agape even today. Do something self-sacrificially. Go love someone by stepping out of your comfort zone. Even if you want to, you're used to snapping at your spouse when they do things. Today, keep your mouth. Just something as practical as that. Please, if I just want to challenge you, let's go, let's change and be love out there. Today, even. So.
Amen. I just agree with that. And in balancing that as well, remember that it is by the Spirit of God. It's not something that, it's a difficult balance to find. Because otherwise you can just be passive and say, ah, but well, God is not doing anything. But he might be just knocking on the door and you're just saying, la, 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 la. So, trust him for that balance. To hear what he's saying, that he will feel, that he will enable. But then as Edna said, let's go and do. Go. Enjoy. I almost made a stupid joke, but let's not. Enjoy the week, guys. It was really awesome. Thank you. Now that I see Chantel and the setup guys, Jan, Emmy, Stephen, worship band, Sal, Undines, thank you very much, guys. Thank you for agapeing the rest of us so that we can enjoy the Lord. We receive and thank you for your agape love. Cheers, guys.